Lisa, that's a great comment. However, it's not just about financial reporting. It's about procedures. It's about fundamental procedures. Each one of the stations we looked at, the different kind of bank reconciliation. One station did it one way, another station did it the other way. And the staff that are doing this are scratching their heads and they're coming back and saying, why aren't they doing the same process? And that's so fundamental. You're one organization. And the problem is right now you're running as five or six separate operations and you shouldn't be. And my goal for as long as I'm your auditor, and even beyond that, my goal is, as I said, is to be able to pick somebody up and transplant them from L.A. to New York or New York to WBAI, and they can walk in, and there's no difference in the policies and procedures, whether it's fundraising, whether it's the drive, whether it's processing cash receipts. That's what's going to make you a successful organization, and that's what's so drastically missing from your operation right now.
And I want to say I wholeheartedly agree with that statement, and I may have not worded it the way that you did because I don't know all of the terms and technicalities when it comes to finance reporting and even reporting about procedures, but I am in agreement with you, and I do know that we have been working toward that. But like I said, I would like to propose that we at least begin with looking at that, and then we can see what else needs to be added or where we can go from there. But this is shocking to me. It's like, wow, we've been, oh. I just have to, you know, take a deep breath a moment.
Sorry. Thank you, Lisa. Next person is Melinda. Melinda?
Yes. Paul, my main concern here, as I expressed earlier, when we last year, has been the cooperation that you received, because as far as I'm concerned, no audit can possibly be done unless we have complete cooperation and all information is provided willingly. I wanted to know if, you know, when you finish, when it was all said and done, do you believe that you got all the information you feel you needed, and did you have any difficulties in obtaining it?
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh because of that. You know, it's now almost the end of March, and when I met with the board at the end of January, you know, we thought we were done. And the fact is, no. This was a very, very difficult audit. And this is one of the things I was trying to stress in terms of accountability and holding people accountable. You know, the fact is, when an auditor, we recognize our role, and our role is not always a good one. We are actually on the same side. Unfortunately, people don't always perceive us as being on the same side, but we're there to serve the board and our client and to get our client moving forward and improving. We were stymied time and time and time again, and your audit chair knows because, as does your executive director and your CFO, because much earlier on this past year, we got them involved, and they saw the interchange of emails when we were requesting information, and it was difficult, and it almost came to the point where I had to say, guys, if you don't answer these questions, I'm going to issue a disclaimer. I will not issue an opinion. So yes, it was tough, and that goes back to you don't have structure. You are missing structure to where somebody can say to an auditor, no, I'm not going to give you that information. I've been practicing public accounting since 1975. I spent 12 years in an international, one of the big eight firms. And I've got to say, this is really the first time in 35 years that I can recall having been faced with this predicament. So it was a very difficult audit.
You have another question, Melinda? Melinda?
Yes, the only concern I'm wondering about, do you feel that you are now getting the information you need to be able to complete this audit?
Yeah, we have completed the audit.
Okay, good. Thank you, Tony. You did a great job, and I know it was like herding cats, but, you know, I really appreciate your due diligence.
I really apologize for my abruptness.
No, you shouldn't be. You did a good job.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can I be on a sec? Or is it too late?
Whose voice is that?
Seth.
Oh, okay. I didn't recognize your voice.
Nia, at some point, if there's time, can I get back on the stack? This is Lisa. Because there's one point I forgot to bring up.
Yes. The next person is Campbell. And then after that, I'll ask if anyone who, you know, hasn't spoken wants to speak. It's now 9:50, so we have 10 minutes. Campbell, go ahead.
Okay. Tony, I was there when you gave your report last year, and it seemed to me as though you were writing the Riot Act, and that, you know, there should have been some meaningful follow-up that the board had undertaken. It seems to me perhaps people were overwhelmed when you... when you reported what you did, or just maybe for some reason disengaged. And what I was wondering in particular, in so far as fixing it, the prescription, so to speak, and working with that, the management report, is what we could do to identify some quarterly goals that would be possible for the committee. And for the committee in engaging the board, and then also to determine the initial things that we would want to present to the board, and specifically identify some particular priorities for key persons in the organizational structure. One thing that I got to witness last year that I was very much disheartened about was on the National Finance Committee, there was an introduction of a new procedure regarding the development of the budgets, which was one that was way overdue that I had asked for when I first got there. And I guess problematically, my background is finance and banking. And so, you know, what was undertaken seemed to be conceptually very, very good. The only thing is that none of the, from what I gathered from the National Finance Committee, none of the business managers had been satisfactorily oriented to it, and we struggled all year long with persons who apparently were responding in different ways. In some places it was collaborative, in some places it was not collaborative. But the point is that they should have been trained before the new system was rolled out so that there wouldn't be that kind of a problem. And, you know, if we can have the kind of focus as to where the accountability lies in, you know, as a part of what you could give us insofar as marching orders, because right now it's just sort of like, you know, it's halftime, we're down 100-0, and let's jump out there and do everything, and that, you know, isn't going to work. And it seems like that was, I don't know if you had done this sort of thing insofar as giving smaller objectives so that it could be somewhat bite-sized chunks. But in this process, I think it would be very useful for our audit committee to be able to work with you insofar as developing a plan for the implementation of this that would get us to where we would be, if not totally out of the woods by the end of the year, that we would be on the path and knowing where we're going.
Right. Yeah, Campbell, you're right on. And really, I'm sort of, you know, it's very easy for as an auditor, because we're the guys that come in and bayonet the wounded. You know, when everything's done, the battlefield's there, and we just come in and stab everybody to death, and we criticize, and that's our job. But it's up to your management. They're the people. It's up to the CFO and the executive director to start putting together a working plan. And we're available. We can certainly talk to them about it and say, well, you know, this is based on our experience, we feel this is important. You might want to focus your energies or efforts here initially and then start moving forward, and help them lay out a timetable. Yeah.
Okay. One thing I think would be helpful in that process Our ED, while she's got tremendous experience with community radio, I think that it would be very helpful if we were part of that loop so that we can see about, you know, the accountability that we can hold our board to, and that we can see the accountability that, you know, together, working with management, that we can hold the stations to and our national office. So,
well,
you know, I would think it's important for us to be in that loop.
Campbell, you're exactly right. And that's what I was saying before, you know. It's the board of directors and the audit committee. You've got to hold your management and your personnel, your staff accountable. And that means you go to them and say, give us a corrective plan of action. And give us a timetable as to when you're going to do when you're going to do these things, and then we're going to hold you to task on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's that's your responsibility.
Okay.
That's your role.
Okay, and I think that, you know, Nia's got a strong grasp of these things, and, you know, pleased to hear of other folks who are on the committee and who've been involved, you know, for several years. That, I think, is extremely beneficial so that we can, you know, benefit from their experience, and we aren't just walking through it the first time.
Right.
So thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to us, you know, being able to, us meaning the audit committee, being able to work with you and your people, you know, in a very collaborative fashion to be able to help our stations to do better and let us know where we are and what we're doing and why.
Okay.
Thank you.
The hallmark of a good auditor is helping his and nurturing his clients, and that's what I love to do.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Campbell. The next person is Seth Goldberg. Seth?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I took my phone off. I just have one or two slightly technical questions for the auditor. They're a little about process, but not your process, our process. So just picking up where the last questioner left off, I mean, normally in a company with these kinds of very, very serious problems, the first thing we would do is we would call in management and we would say, okay, you've had this report in draft form for a month or two, and what's your plan, and what's your plan on this part, and what's the plan for each of the stations, and how are we going to roll it out, and what's going to happen. Now, because we're, you know, geographically disparate, I suppose there could be issues of whether it's the audit committee that's doing that, or whether it's the finance committee that's doing that, or whether it's the PNB as a whole that's doing that. And My own view would be that you would want to start off with a smaller committee that would allow management to present its plan, and that the audit committee wouldn't be a bad place to do that starting, because, after all, we already know the auditor a little, although the finance committee may know him as well. But once we can clear away whether it's one or both committees or a combined joint session of the committees, you want, my own view would be that you'd want something relatively small so that together with management, and that might be some of the managers at a station, but mostly the managers at Central, you would get some kind of, as the last questioner asked, some sort of prioritized plan for even the next couple of months. And you could see how the progress was developing there in the middle of all the other gigantic issues that the network faces. We're melting down financially, et cetera. So my question to you as the auditor is it reasonable that the committee that has those initial meetings asking the executive director and the CFO and maybe have a bunch of meetings, one with each of the three or four stations that that you found very serious problems with, or to have those meetings, say a meeting a week if necessary in the next month until we can get some sort of semblance of getting our arms around it?
Well, Seth, I, you know, the Audit Committee and the Finance Committee are really just a portion of the board, and I think this is a big enough issue that belongs at the board level, and I think maybe it's up to the president, the board chair, and the board to decide how they want to go to this. I, you know, I'm sort of reluctant to say it should be the Audit Committee or the Finance Committee, or perhaps it should be made up of a mixture. Maybe there's there needs to be a fix-it committee that's made up of finance and audit, because obviously these the two areas overlay each other tremendously. That then periodically reports back to the board. That based on my board experience, having been a board chair and sat on numerous boards, I think that's the way I would recommend that process go. Rather, is to task it up to the full board and to see how they want to approach it.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Seth, you done? Okay. All righty. It is now, and Lisa, I didn't forget about you. It's now 10:01, and our time is up. So could I just get unanimous consent to have Lisa, since she's on the stack, and then we move on? Is that okay with everyone?
That's okay by me.
This is LaVarne. If I can just make a brief statement also.
Okay. So Lisa, and then LaVarne.
One other thing I just wanted to make a note of, and this is important also for the new people on the call, because another issue that has come up time and time again is the relationship between the general business managers and the CFO, and how that reporting relationship should go has always been an issue. Do the general managers answer directly to the CFO, or how that should be? And I know that has come up as a concern in terms of being able to get the answers and to have, I don't like to use the word control, but I guess a better reporting relationship and a unified reporting system, which I think is essential. But another thing I just wanted to bring out again, and Seth, this might be, again, a way to address some of the things that you were raising, is to at least begin, at least definitely look at what was already put into place for a policies and procedural manual. And, of course, I can't go through everything. But, for example, I'm just looking at something right here, and it says inventory management. At least a physical inventory of all premiums shall be completed, and an inventory of all fixed assets shall be completed at least once a year, and that inventory records of premiums and fixed assets should be kept. This also talked about the business managers printing out check registers that would correspond to the bank statements on a monthly basis. I mean, things of that nature have at least been addressed to a certain extent in this policies and procedures manual. But I know we have, at least from the Audit Committee perspective, we have really been working on it. And I do know that at some point the National Finance Committee also worked on this. So, again, I just strongly urge that we at least look at this as maybe a way to proceed, and definitely any input from Tony Pohl would be great. Does this at least begin to address some of the deficiencies that you've already stated? But I do think that that is at least a platform to start from.
If I may just comment on what Lisa had to say, she really made two comments. One about the line reporting, and I think I've been very strong about that. And that is, people have to be held accountable, and ultimately most of the reporting that we're talking about is, we're not talking about programming, because programming, this is my opinion, and it's just that, but it seems like programming is a local community need. Financial reporting is a national need, and therefore the accounting, the line of accountability. And I stated this last year, and I'm repeating it this year. The accountability has to go from the business manager up to the chief financial officer, and who needs to hold those people to task as to what they're producing, how often they're producing, the frequency and the quality and the accuracy of it. And that's where the accountability has to happen. And the next comment was on the new manual, and it's. You're right. It sounds like you've already started writing the playbook. and there's no there's absolutely no reason whatsoever to recreate it. We can certainly take it and embellish it, but it sounds like, you know, that these are the very things that we've been bringing up in the letter today.
Okay, thank you. Are you done, Lisa?
For now.
Okay. Okay. The last person on the stack, and then we need to move on so Tony could go, is Levine.
Hello. Levine. Yeah, I just want to say that yes, the audit is over, and that this audit this year really allows us to look at the whole organization and look at you know, where we need to do all the things that Tony's talked about, and the work that we're beginning, like with the Finance Committee on policies and procedures, which really I think we'd work through the Audit Committee initially and then had the Finance Committee review the product. But in this audit, you know, we've revealed all the warts and all of the issues. You know, we looked at skill levels, looked at, like you said, the procedures that are not done consistently, like different people do in terms of bank reconciliations differently. At one station, it was not done at all, so we're doing that at the national office now. We're doing bank reconciliations there for one station. And we have a big opportunity and a challenge to put the process in place and to work with the business managers, and not just business managers, but as we came to conclusion of the audit, we found that we have to work with the business managers, database managers, development directors, because all of this is related. So the team, in terms of making this consistent across the foundation and with in terms of the skill level and having those positions there to do these tasks, that's the other challenge. But I think that as we concluded the audit, we were all working together. We were all on these 10 a.m. calls at different times. So I think that that is set in place, you know, what it will require for all of us to work together, and that we all understand that it's related and we understand what the challenges are, that it is a great opportunity for us at this time to make the foundation in the process and procedures that's not only related to finance but to all other areas, to set that in place, to have a model that we can, like, go forth with and be a model for other not-for-profit foundations. So, again, really thank Tony, the team, Selena, Becca, all the others who really worked on this, and that I think that, again, we have a challenge, but we have an opportunity, and I think that that we really have to address skill levels, particularly at some stations, because if there's no one there to do this process, it's just not done. And that's what we really need to address too, is the skill level, skill sets of the individual to make this work. And I think that, again, we have a good start because we all work together toward the end. And I think we understand what we have to do to get the task done. Welcome you guys in terms of getting started, ideas, and we can, like, brainstorm on that because we're already starting on some of the process itself.
Okay. Thanks, Levine. Okay.
If I may make a comment.
Yes. Go ahead, Tony.
Levine just reminded me that I need to make thanks to both you, Nia, for helping throughout this audit, as well as to Levine, who did institute this daily 10 o'clock call that really did help to bring this audit together at the end. Obviously, we were concerned. We know you've got reporting timetables, so I'd like to thank both of you and also the personnel at in Berkeley and National Office for, I know, what was a very difficult audit.
Okay. You're welcome. Now, the next item, Chandra Sudha, with us?
Yes.
Yeah, I know you had asked to move the next meeting date to be the next item.
Oh, no, it's Lisa, I believe.
Oh, sorry. Okay. All righty. I had the now that we're in this mode, that's why I put established committees work as the next item. So since we're in a mode, do we want to keep going to establish the committee's work, or we'll break to do the date and then come back?
You know something, I don't object, because my only concern was that, you know, sometimes people get off the calls, you know, he would be off the call by this time, but I don't object.
Okay.
But as long as they do it before me in the call.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'll just leave it. Rather, by the time I get unanimous consent and all that, on KPFTX, which just give me a chance to just pull it up here, I think what's happening is that a lot of the committees have chosen their dates for the month, and I was organized enough to choose, 1 second, I'm in March, to go to April, and to see if this is convenient for everyone, that we have the second Monday of every, is everyone still there?
Yeah.
Okay, great. The second Monday of every month is our regularly scheduled meeting day. Now, is that okay with everyone? You want to take a quick look at your calendars now? I think, I don't know if people are leaving or what's going on.
Is Monday usually the meeting date?
Monday is most convenient for me, to be honest with you, because I have family issue that I...
Monday will work okay for me.
Campbell, this is Jane. Do you recall which Monday our finance committee meets? Is it the first or second Monday?
I think it's the first Monday, but I missed the, you know, I wasn't able to make the last meeting. But I think that Bruce had indicated it was first Monday.
This is Bill.
Bill?
Yeah, I'd rather not do the second Monday because that's a local committee that meets then every month. And I think Melinda's also on the same committee, and I'd prefer that we do it on a different Monday or a different day of the week.
Okay. Well, like I just said, Monday is the most convenient date for me.
Can we have
the
third
Monday I'm talking about?
The third Monday here, I see programming, and I think it was you, Bill, who mentioned that that's going to be their regular day, is that third Monday.
I'm not on that committee.
When we were choosing, yes. They seem to have been doing this here. In May, they have the third Monday. June, they have the third Monday.
Okay.
The third and fourth Mondays are available.
And not the first Monday, I take it?
Pardon?
Not the first Monday that's taken by somebody?
Yeah, the first Monday is personnel, and both Bill and I are on that committee.
Okay. How about fourth Monday?
Does anyone have anything doing on the fourth Monday?
No.
The next question is how many months are missing a fourth Monday, if that's the case?
If that's the case, that's a good question. Whose voice is that? Okay. Well, I'm up to August, and we're doing well. If that was Dutch, I can't tell if it's Dutch or Wesley. Okay. September. October. November.
I think we're pretty good.
November is the month that there is no fourth. No, there is a fourth Monday. What am I saying? Yeah, they all have. Okay.
Yeah, we're cool.
Can everybody do the fourth Monday?
Sounds like a winner to me.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Now, we have a lot of work to do. So to meet 4 Mondays from now, I'm a little concerned. And wait, April? The fourth Monday will be the Monday after the Pacifica National Board in-person meeting. So I really would not. I want to meet before that.
Okay.
One second, Lisa. I know Tuesdays are bad for you, Lisa. Is there any way? If let's say, how about Monday the 6th of April? Is that good for everyone? Except for, I know Lisa has her community thing. Monday the 6th.
What happened with the 2nd of April 12th?
Well, Bill said that is a state compensation committee meeting. So I like to be respectful of the work that people do for the foundation on different committees. So I try not to, plus I like having everybody at our meeting.
Right.
So I'm trying to find a day when all of us can be here. Well, I just said it, and I know Lisa's commitment. Go ahead, Lisa. I know you.
Well, you said the first.
Lastly.
Okay.
I can't make it on the 6th, but I could on the 7th, on a Wednesday.
The 7th, right. That's coordinating, and I'm on coordinating.
Is the first Monday? I'm sorry.
Yes, the first Monday is personnel. Bill and I are on that.
Sugar. What about the Thursday the 8th?
Thursday the 8th? I don't like to schedule conflicts. That's the affiliates.
Conflict for that, okay.
How about Friday the 9th?
I can do that.
Yeah, I don't usually like Friday meetings, but I can do that.
Is Friday the 9th good?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Tentatively.
Okay. Do I hear from everybody Friday the 9th?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you do.
I've got to lean on it, but if there's...
Fridays are kind of difficult for me because my husband is off that day.
Alright. Now you have to bring him on the call, Melinda. Tell him to join us.
Yeah, he'll have fun. It'll warm
thrilled.
Him up. It'll get his
for
blood.
Time. He'll be thrilled.
It'll get his
and
blood going.
Be in divorce court.
I don't think he'll
want, right?
Melinda, he might not like that, right?
No, I don't think so.
I'm crazy about the idea.
It'll set the mood. It'll get his blood pumping.
And just to clear, talking about one meeting on a Friday, right? The rest of them will go back.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Then I would go to the fourth Monday. So Melinda, did you think your hubby will allow you to be on at least for a few minutes?
Just a few minutes. That's no problem.
Okay. Thank you so much.
But Chair, are you sure that Bill wouldn't want to just join us that one meeting on April 12th for the just for one month have a.
Oh, Bill Crozier? Bill?
Well, I could do that, I guess. I just don't want to have it every month on the second day.
Right.
No. Okay,
yeah, if that's better for everybody else, I could do that.
Yeah, it sounds like it. This way Melinda doesn't have to infringe on the time with her husband, okay? So then next month it will be the 12th, and every month after it will be the fourth Monday. Okay?
Okay.
Do I get unanimous consent?
Oh, my.
Point of information, Madam Chair, point of, because I thought that, and of course this is up to the committee because I do know that we do have quite a bit of work, so I was thinking that was going to be calling for that meeting then and also the meeting on the 4th. So maybe can I make this suggestion, if possible, that we don't remove that meeting from the 4th, on the 4th Monday yet, that we don't remove that from the calendar, that we reserve that, but that we meet when you just said, and maybe we might need to meet twice in April to just, you know, deal with some of the things.
We absolutely will be. When we get to the next item, then we'll decide what we're going to do. But for now, just our regular meeting date is April 12th, and if we have to do something clean, then we'll go there, okay?
I didn't know if you
want to break the flow too much, and Tony's on the line.
Okay, no problem.
Okay? All right, thank you so much. Okay, now the next item is established committee's work, and that was amended to 30 minutes, so it's now 10:19. From what I heard, between the questions and all of that, and to use a phrase that someone used, I think they said the prescription for what we need to do. I'd just like to let everybody know.
Can I interrupt for just a second?
Now, yes.
If we're going to be in an in-person meeting over the from like the 23rd or 24th through the 25th, then we're going to be coming right back with a conference call on the 26th. Is that the way it's going to work?
That's fine. I mean, I'm fine. I'm ready to work.
I just thought I would mention that.
I'm aware. That's why I put out earlier that we have a lot of work to do.
Okay.
We all sound like we're committed. We've asked very, 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 very intelligent questions. So, you know.
So this is not a ceremonial committee, huh?
No.
The work.
The only work. All right. Okay, let's get down to business now. So someone used the phrase prescription, and it's sounding to me, the theme that I heard is that somehow we need to work with Tony or one of his staff members. I just like to let people know that Tony Haas, his time is not donated. I'm sure he's probably donated some time, but for him to meet with us or one of his staff members, we have to pay him.
Yes.
So let's be mindful of that. Are you still there, Tony? I'm talking about you, Mr. Paul. Tony?
Maybe he's saving you money.
Yeah, I was going to say, he dropped off, so we didn't have to pay him for this part.
Oh, no. He needs to... Oh, boy.
One thing, Nia, while we're not getting too far away from the subject matter, I think that if... persons who have not seen or reviewed the policies and procedures document that Lisa was referring to, I think it would be a good thing for us to get savvy on that before the next time we're together.
Okay. That's the point. Well, I have my notes here, Campbell. I must say that you are an excellent Secretary Pro Tem. You beat me to it. I like that. I like thinking ahead. That's great. Now, what we need to do is to establish what is our next step. I need to get Tony back. Lisa?
Nia, can this manual be sent out by email?
Yeah, it's on email.
I was just about to say, Lisa, could you kindly search for it and send it? I need to get Tony Pohl back. So would you kindly search for it, Lisa, and then send it to the people that are on the line?
Sure. Now I'm going to tell everybody right now because suddenly it's starting to thunder and lightning, and I usually at least don't like to be on my computer. So I'm going to try to do this right now, but if for some reason I don't get to it within the next hour, that would be the problem, that I shut it down.
That's okay.
Right. I'm trying to...
I guess I'd like to either be on the stack or propose a motion or something like that.
And Bill, too.
Okay, I guess since Nia's off, who's the first person who spoke?
Seth.
Seth?
Where are we on the agenda?
And Bill.
Is this an agenda?
Just at setting the date, and we just finished that, and we were looking at some assignments at that point.
Yeah, work for the committee.
Okay.
I think that was the committee work.
Yes,
the next item
setting the work for the committee.
Right.
So
Seth, did you want to say something first?
Yeah, I wanted to pick up on what the questioner before me asked the auditor, and then my question to the auditor, and try to get some kind of plan to go forward. And I completely second the idea of sending around our procedures manual.
Hello?
And but I'll know I'm waiting for the line to clear.
One second,
just a minute.
Tony?
Can you hear me?
Is that you,
Nia?
Yeah, that's me.
Hi, Nia.
Okay.
This is Seth, and I'm sort of on the stack, and I may make a motion, but we'll see. But basically I seconded what the questioner before me asked the auditor. And I wanted to pick up the auditor's suggestion.
Is everybody hearing an echo?
Is anybody else getting an echo?
Oh, yeah.
I think, Nia, when you came back on, you may have brought an echo with you.
Ah.
Nia would never bring an echo with her.
I wanted to pick up on what the questioner prior to me asked the auditor, and I wanted to pick up from the auditor's response to my question.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to propose that there be some sort of a mechanism, perhaps a joint committee consisting of maybe three from the audit committee, three from the finance committee, that would meet with station management as what the auditor proposed, a kind of fix-it committee that would hear the reports of station management of their ongoing work to address all these problems from the audit report on probably a weekly basis, so that they could report back to us and then have substantive work done by the time that the PMB met. And my short motivation in two sentences is that manuals are good, but meeting with the people is better.
Whoever brought an echo with them.
Yeah. Hello? Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like we can hear you okay, but when you came back on, everyone else seems to be double.
Sounds like an echo chamber. Double.
This is amazing.
Is this my conscience?
I'm here. Hello?
We hear you regularly, but you're the only voice that we hear only once. Everyone else is repeating to us.
Maybe you can call back in again.
Okay, let me have to now drop Tony.
I apologize. Maybe Tony has a speaker on.
Campbell?
Just give Tony the code and he can call in directly.
That's the way.
I can't give Tony the code over the phone. I'll call back in. Tony, stay on, please.
Sorry.
Campbell, could you please take the stack and keep going?
Yes. Okay, was that it, Seth?
Campbell, this is Jane. I'd like to get on the stack, please.
This is who?
This is Jane. I just want to get on the stack.
Maybe somebody can email the code to Tony.
I can't hear it. Chandra?
We still have an echo, even though
Yeah, no.
I know. Oh, that's better.
Nia's going to have to hang up and dial back, because when she comes back, it echoes. When she goes away, it stops echoing.
It sounds good right now.
It sounds okay right now. Who just wanted to be on the stack?
Jane?
Okay.
And Bill.
Okay, I have Bill right after Seth. Seth, were you done?
Yep.
Hello?
Hello,
Seth?
I think good enough. People understood, I hope, what I was aiming at.
Yeah. What I got from that was that you're saying that you proposed a joint committee, three audit members, three finance committee members to meet with station management and hear their reports on progress on a weekly basis. Manuals are good, but the meetings are better. Did I get it right?
Yeah, I think so. And I guess I would want the PNB maybe chair or vice chair, if they wanted to be on that committee as well. In other words, some kind of action committee that would be basically run by the PNB chair and vice chair, having input from the detailed knowledge that the people on the finance committee and the audit committee have, so that they can every week try to get some sort of a plan put together to fix a lot of these problems that need fixing. But then, and they would be hearing reports from the executive director, from the CFO, and from the different business managers as they thought appropriate.
Okay. I think, you know, what I'm going to do is just take this down for now, because I think that the group might want to process it a bit. Bill?
Well, I had something sort of similar in mind, maybe. I'm not sure necessarily about having a work group, but I do agree we need to get some more reports and find out what's going on. I've been real concerned that the PND hasn't gotten to the committee reports at all since the new PNB took office at the end of January. And we also have not gotten to our ED and CFO reports during our PNB meetings, except there in the DC meeting in January.
Though
we haven't gotten to either committee reports or ED and CFO reports, except we did get the ED and CFO reports in at the DC meeting at the end of January. So what my suggestion was, and I was going to ask LaVarne for her opinion, could we get maybe a written report from Arlene and LaVarne and how they're responding to the management letter and the audit, at least before our next audit committee meeting. I'm not sure. I'd like to see something sooner, but I know they're very busy with other things. But we do have a responsibility, as Tony's pointed out, to make sure things are happening. I don't want to tell them what to do, but I'd like to know what's moving and where the problems are, if they need support from the board on anything, for example.
Hi, it's Tony back on the line.
Hi.
Okay. This is Lisa for the stack.
Okay.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes. Nia, we have two people on the stack still to go. One is Jane and then Lisa.
Okay. Go ahead.
Jane?
Okay, so...
Were you done, Bill?
Well, yeah, unless LaVarne wants to respond, but yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
So, Bill said... I think Bill captured my idea. I was thinking that the most expedient way for us to move forward would be to ask Arlene and LaVarne to give us a written statement as to how they propose implementing the solutions to this report, and at the same time, I'd like some response from management as to this document that we have, the policies and procedures manual, in terms of is this fine, should we put it in place, or does it need to be revised again? So it looks like I'd like to modify what Bill suggested and add that we get a response to this document.
Okay.
And I would recommend that instead of setting up the task force at this time or the working action committee that was previously suggested, I'd like to get some response from management first.
Okay.
Leslie, I'd like to be on the stack also.
Okay. We have Lisa yet and then Leslie.
Right. I'll be brief. I guess I really want to second what Jane just said, because according to what I'm hearing from the auditor, and of course having been on the audit committee call for a number of years, I think one of the critical things that evidently has not happened, although we've been trying to make it happen, is to not just establish a policy, but also to implement it. So I think right now the critical thing that must be done is to establish a uniform policies and procedures manual, to have it clearly established, and of course to have input from the auditors, and I guess actually the Finance Committee and the Audit Committee did work on this, and there was also tremendous input from the CFO. So I would propose that something like that continue to have this reviewed, because when we do meet, and I'm not at all opposed to meeting with management, I think we can still ask for certain reports, but it is imperative that when we do meet with them that we say, look, this is what the national board or whomever will be the ultimate one that will say yay or nay to this policy, that this is the policies that we have put in place. This is how we expect this to be handled. And how can we help you implement it? If there are some stations that might be having a very difficult time implementing some of this, because some stations are very short of staff, I will acknowledge that is a problem, then we need to know that. But I think we need to definitely start from something strong, saying this is how it's supposed to be. So that if they come and say, this is our way of doing it, it should be like, no, but this is how it needs to be done. Uniform procedure across the board. And I think we need to start from that perspective.
Oh, okay. And
I'm
we have...
Campbell, so I recognize Leslie.
A big pardon?
Someone on a speakerphone?
I am back, so I'll now recognize Leslie.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I just wanted to add here that it's my understanding, and Laverne, correct me if I'm wrong, that you're already working on a revision of the Policies and Procedures Manual. And if you are, I think we need to coordinate with that effort and not be trying to do something distinctly different. Laverne, are you still there? I take it she's not. So let me make the point that I understood that she's been charged with doing this, and I don't think we want to take a separate tack from her and the work that she may already have in progress.
Okay.
Okay. Now that I'm back, I heard bits and pieces of what was said, but Campbell, could you tell me briefly what the conversations were
sure.
about?
Sure.
We need
be
to
glad to. The Seth had indicated that, you know, picking up from the prior questioner, that he proposed a joint committee of three audit persons, three finance committee persons, to meet with station management and hear their reports on progress on a weekly basis. The manuals are good, but that meetings are better. He would want the PMB chair or vice chair to participate in these. Now, I'm not getting everything, I don't think. I believe that it was next Bill who indicated that he was concerned that the PMB hasn't gotten to the committee report and hasn't gotten to the ED's report or CFO reports. We want to get these reports from the CFO and ED in response to, you know, the questions that have been raised by the audit. Lisa, wait a minute, I think that was where you were on the stack. Okay. Jane indicated that Bill captured her idea and asked to ask the ED and CFO for a written statement on how they propose to implement the management report. Want to get a response from management regarding the policies, what they think of the Policies and Procedures Manual, and recommending, you know, what their recommendations would be for us. Lisa was saying that she would second what Jane said, that one critical thing that needs to happen is to establish uniform policy and procedures manual and have, and I missed the word after that, we can still ask for management reports. Then when we meet with the national board and local stations, we'll know better how we can implement things and how they can relate to staff capabilities. Leslie indicated it's her understanding that Laverne's already working on a policies on assessment of the Policies and Procedures Manual and didn't think that we should be, you know, doing a redundant thing. Did I get everybody's stuff wrong or am
Whoa.
I doing
better than I thought?
Campbell. Huh?
Good. Thank you.
You raised a bar.
Are you okay. a court reporter?
No.
Destroy it. Okay, thanks very much, Kelly.
Can I make a comment when it's appropriate?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
But just one second. There are a lot of people that are on the call, so I hear a call for Laverne, and there are more people that are on than there are committee members. So, Laverne, are you there? Maybe there are other board members that are listening in, but Laverne, are you there?
I asked, and she didn't respond.
Okay, so maybe other board members are just listening. Okay, Tony, go ahead.
I just listened to the comments that were made in terms of this plan of action, and this comment is predicated upon my experience, my personal experience, as not only attending a lot of board meetings over the years, but also as being the chair of a $50 million community hospital here in the California at that organization where we have our own kinds of problems, we found that our experience was that our belief was that we had a good management in place, and we could not micromanage them. It was our position as board members, give them the direction, do this, make sure this, we need to see this in place, and report back and tell us what is a reasonable time for you to report back to us. And at that point in time, and we'd give them that, you know, we'd give them the direction and then say, okay, come back and report to us at the appropriate time. Rather than try to supervise their work on a day-to-day basis. And maybe I misheard it, but that's the impression I got and said, this is just my comments based upon my experience as a president of a local hospital here.
Okay. Thanks, Tony. Now, Campbell did a nice recapitulation, and based on what Tony just said, I agree with most of what he said. What I want to make sure is that the audit committee members, that they are as involved as possible. And how would you guys consider this? I think what we need to do is to compare the policies and procedures manual that was approved, I think it was in 2007, compare that with the current management letter and see where there are inconsistencies. Because, you know, our responsibility as an audit committee, as I said earlier, is to make sure that there are effective processes for maintaining adequate internal controls and procedures for accurate financial reporting. And we need to come up with what I'm thinking with checklists. That we can create a checklist from the policies and procedures manual that has already been approved.
Right.
And have people, you know, we could talk with the ED and the CFO as a committee and see what we can, you know, what we can collaborate on. And if LaVon is working on something, she would be on that call, you know, certainly would invite them. And then let's come up with some type of checklist that every month, even they in the national office could say to each particular unit means station, well, this month, did you do your bank reconciliations? Do you, all that stuff that Tony has in the management letter, and maybe do a check-off that gets sent to the national office with the CC to me as the audit committee chair, which I would share. So I don't know how people feel about that. I'll take a stack.
Lisa? Well, I can go after somebody else who hasn't spoken can speak first.
Or Lisa, just 1 second. Tony, let me ask you. What do you think about that idea, Tony Paul?
I think that's fine. My only concern was my immediate reaction, and I said it's just based on my own personal experience, Nia, that, you know, you hire this great team of managers to run the operation, and in some ways you've got to allow them to make the decisions. But certainly, I liked what I heard from you, and that is checking in with you, making progress, hearing periodic reports back on what sort of progress they're making, I think is very appropriate.
If the committee would just allow me to do a follow-up, as a chair, sure. I usually don't like to talk a lot. But, if we don't do that as a committee, how can we possibly carry out our responsibility of making sure that these processes are effective?
Well, I think you're right, Nia, and that is that, you know, periodically they need to report back to you on the progress they're making, and that's, I completely agree with you.
Okay. So,
I guess when I first heard it, it sort of came across that the committee whichever that committee is going to be, was going to micromanage the process, and I think that's dangerous because you've got to allow these, you know, these are professionals, and you should allow them to use their professional judgment. But reporting back to the committee on a regular, on a periodic basis is a very good idea as to progress that's being made.
Okay. So,